Hello everyone, welcome to the show, and today's guest is Tom Sanger. How are you going, Tom?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good, thank you very much for taking the time out. Now you're located in America. Whereabouts are you located?
I'm in Tucson, Arizona.
Tucson, Arizona. How's the weather there today? Looks good?
The weather is sunny with big billowing clouds. We're in the monsoon season.
Ooh, so
but you could, today's not a rain day.
Not a rain day?
No.
So is it summer sort of time there at the moment?
It is, but we get the big billowing thunderheads, rain, lightning. We can have days where it actually cools down, and we'll be cooler than somewhere else in the country way up north, which is kind of odd.
It's weird. Like, we were over there recently, and it would be, like, equivalent to our full-on summer days, but there's snow on top of some of the mountains, and
Yeah.
Really weird.
We get that in the winter here, yeah.
Yep. No, it's a beautiful place you're in, so yeah, very lucky indeed. Now what we'll do, we'll get into a little bit of your background, and then if we can we go into your experiences and how things started, because you've had contacts with the Pleiadians, you've filmed some crafts, you've got contact going on now, and you do take people out and make contact in another way as well. So this has been going on. We talked just before the show. This happened a few years, I think, after I was born. So this has been going on for years, and I'll be able to learn a lot here as well. So how would you sort of like to set the scene to introduce people to yourself and who you are and your experiences?
Yeah, well, I was living in Seattle. I lived there for a number of years. And in early 1988, I won't go into the detail because I take up the whole show doing, you know, the detail on it. But I kind of got whopped upside the head by a cosmic 2x4 as far as the ET experience is concerned. It's really complex, and it was actually extremely traumatic the way it happened. So this is 1988, there's no internet. There's not a lot of people you can go to at that time. So I was kind of on my own. And I worked my way kind of through this to the point where I realized there's no possible way that all beings out there are negative. So there has to be some positive elements. So I said, heck with it. And I started going out literally in the middle of the night, like midnight. I drive 45 miles out into the woods in this clearing, and just lay there in my sleeping bag and saying, okay, here I am, what the heck, whatever you want to do. And I go out there lots of nights, and I had massive missing time. I mean, it was ridiculous. I had a terrible sleeping bag, totally uncomfortable, yet I'd wake up and the sun is way up in the sky already, which is impossible. I had a hard time driving home. I'd have to pull over, sleep for a couple hours, and this became very wearing on me. I didn't have any base for this, really, but I knew it was missing time. I'd read some Bud Hopkins stuff and that sort of thing. But something was very strange about it. Like, I was having a contact experience. I didn't feel it was negative. I had only two... All the times I went out there, I had two memories. One was a loss of pyramids, which I've still never figured out what that is. And the other was a row of lights, which made no sense at the time. I got to a certain point where I just kind of got the idea that I needed to move on from that and do something else with this. And I don't think that was my idea either. So I'm looking through this book called 101 Hikes in the North Cascades, and in almost microscopic print on the, because I was a backpacker and so on up there in the Cascades, almost microscopic print, it says the Pleiades. So here's this mountain called, you can hike to, called Winchester Mountain, and part of that mountain, it's like a jagged tooth ridge coming off of it, is called the Pleiades. So here this tiny little print says Pleiades, and boom, we went up there. and had a couple of strange flyovers while we're laying out in the meadow at night. But I can almost look at it as a satellite. I didn't know at the time. It came over on a diagonal and then made a big glow and then continued on. So that was the very early days of the National UFO Reporting Center. And I called them up and he said, oh, it's just a satellite. You know, which of course they're not really supposed to do that. That was before Peter Davenport took it. Right.
Yeah.
Peter Davenport, of course, is excellent. But he said, yeah, you're just seeing a satellite. So I kind of took it in as a satellite, right? We went up the next year. The same thing went over and made a glow and then continued on. And then I'm laying there looking at the volcano. You look down on the meadow and you see this volcano, Mount Baker. And this light would appear and then go out. And as soon as it went out, it would appear at another point. And as soon as that went out, it would appear at another point. And I got this idea that they were showing me that they were loose in space and time. So a hiking friend of mine who had no real interest in the subject of UFOs, she went up farther up than the meadow, and we went all the way up on the ridgeline where you're actually looking at Mount Larrabee and the Pleiades on one side and Mount Baker on the other, just incredible views.
Pardon me.
We're up there looking for UFOs. You know, we don't know what we're doing, and we're seeing airplanes, and we got tired of it, went in the tent. Then all of a sudden she sits up and she said, what's that? And it's this airplane, probably, going across the very busy Canadian airspace, because the back of the mountain is actually in Canada. You know, I mean, there are tons of them going, jets. So it was odd. We just see this, you know, airplane going. Problem is, it stopped dead and then went up, not directly over our heads, but farther, a little farther to the west of us, but almost over our heads. And it was moving in a jerky fashion because I looked at it in relation to the stars. And it was, you know, not heading on a straight trajectory. It was definitely doing a jerky fashion. So we put our boots on and run down to this alpine meadow. So we can, you know, they can pick us up. I mean, that's just a crazy thought right there. The next thing we know, we're back at the tent. We don't recall whatsoever going back up. And it's going up this hill. And we're in this high sort of state. Well, for maybe 2 or 3 months after that, my friend would have to call me at 2 in the morning saying, I can't take this anymore. She was having this expanding spiritual experience just from seeing a light up there, right? It didn't make any sense, but she just had this, she later said it was like the whole universe had opened for her. That's what her quote was. So she got through that. It changed her whole life, that one little experience. Well, I received regression session work on that missing time, and I found out we actually were on board with little Zeta Reticula guys, except they weren't the negative abduction type, which means, you know, taken against your will, right? And they had actually taken us out and shown us something very significant having to do with certain points of mountains and so on in relation to other points and so on, like a grid work. And then they took us all the way out where we're actually observing the planet and the light that's around it. We got a little lecture about it, which they block your mind on that, but the one thing they allowed me to remember was that it's a living beingness or essence of the planet, kind of the Gaia sort of thing. So this was the regression session. Then, maybe a week or two later, my friend and I went down to Portland, Oregon, which is quite a ways down there from where we were. And we went to a little event there. And afterwards, I've never even, hung out in Portland. I've been there a couple of times, but I didn't know anything about Portland. Standing in the parking lot, and I get this hit, I guess you could call it. I said, "We need to go somewhere for a contact event." And she just had this thing happen to her like a week before, and she was just a hiker, So I'm looking around, and I realize we need to go to Mount Hood, the volcano. So I'm driving, it was actually her truck. So I'm driving. I have no idea what the frick I'm doing, where I'm going. I'm thinking, this is the stupidest thing I've ever done in my life. And I get this thought of, don't worry, just drive, you'll end up where you need to. Driving along, 100-foot trees on the side of the road, and this little light is tracking right down the highway, way up. Now, I called her last year. She lives in New Mexico. And she said, "Oh, well, that little light went from being over the truck to my side." She said, "I saw the light going all the way when we were going up there, and you didn't see it because it was on my side," which, obviously blew me away. But we go all the way out to the volcano, Mount Hood. And I'm driving around one side and of it, I'm going, that doesn't seem right. And I get around this other side. I thought it was the north side, but I Google Earth that it was the east side. I tried to find it last year. I drove all over after Google Earthing. I couldn't even find this thing. Drove up this maintenance road, see a little entry, like a little uphill road, which only went for a few yards, and suddenly we were in this huge parking lot. I mean, vast. No telephone poles, no buildings, nothing. Just a parking lot. And when I Google Earth it, I don't even know what that parking lot is. I think it might be for skiers. I have no idea. There's nothing there, but it's huge. The Google Earth picture I have has this little tiny thing on it. Then you zoom in and it's a truck. So we parked up on the far end of the parking lot and we're sitting there facing whatever direction that would be. Let's see. Anyway, it doesn't matter. And there are literally a million stars because there's zero light pollution, no moon, a billion stars. And I look over this little foothill and here's this little micro star, and as soon as I put my eyes on it, I got this huge rush, and I got this thought of, you will experience more than you have ever experienced before. And I said to my friend, I said, they're here. And this little light comes over, I mean, it's tiny, comes over the foothill and stops dead and goes into this huge glow with this rectangular bar of light that's higher from top to bottom rather than to the side vertically. And it was almost like an arc welding light brightness in the center of this. My friend, here she's brand new at this stuff. I mean, this is so bizarre. She gets out of the truck and she was kind of dressed a little formally. She gets to the back of the truck. She says, "I'm going to get my onboard clothes on." I kid you not. So I got out and I knew down deep to not ever get in a position with these guys where you're feeling almost like a worshipful, or you're feeling small and they're, wow. So I did a very strange thing. I yelled at this light, "Don't you guys have any respect for her when she's changing in the back?" Just to keep myself mentally on kind of an even keel, if you
Bit
can
of
see.
humor and bit of grounding to it.
Pardon?
a bit of humor and a bit of grounding at the same time when something like that's going on.
I guess grounding would be it, and also not getting in the sense of, oh wow, the Space Brothers or some crazy thing. Yeah. So I then turned my back on the light, which was kind of hard to do, let me tell you, but it was part of that too, of just don't get into this thing of treating them like they're so superior. The next thing we know, this is a huge parking lot. We're parked way on the end of it. Next thing we know, we're in the middle of the parking lot. We're just there, and this little dinky airplane's flying overhead. And one of us said, oh, it's just an airplane. We go back. I fell asleep in the cab. She fell asleep in her little camper thing. The next day, driving back to Seattle, everything's fine, right? La-di-da-di-da, you know, hey, you know, whatever that was last night. Then I start thinking about it. And I go, wait a minute, that's totally nuts. I have no recollection of going from the truck to the middle of the parking lot. And I asked her about that. She said, I don't have any recollection either. Said, did we have missing time? And she said, yes. So I know how to do regression work. I'm not a professional, but I'm pretty good at it. So there I am driving away, right? And I'm doing a regression session with her. So isn't that crazy?
That's cool.
It is, yeah. And we're on the freeway, no less. So you're doing this regression session, and I do sessions very cleanly. I don't say, well, let's go back last night and see if you saw any UFOs and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, not leading on.
Yeah, nothing. So I just say, you know, okay, let's look at last night. Tell me what occurred. You know, do it real loose on the first run through. And she says, I don't know, you know, we're in the parking lot, see the little airplane flying by. I say, okay, let's go to the beginning again and tell me again what occurred. Da-da-da-da, little airplane, da-da-da. Third time through, she says, there's something in the parking lot, and there's a light underneath it, and we're going towards it, and we, I mean, the whole thing opened up, and we're on board, and there's this tall being who she figures, I talked to her later about it, maybe 7 feet tall, something like that, and he has his back turned. A friend of mine just 2 years ago said, you had your back turned when you got out of the truck, and then you get on board? And he's got his back turned. I went, oh my God, I didn't even realize that. That's crazy. So she felt very uncomfortable because he has his back turned and what is going on. And she said, in the sessions, he said, his face then came through the back of his head. And then I felt this relaxing kind of a great sense of love and all this. But later, like years later, I asked her, what did you mean by that? She said, well, not his face, more like his essence came through, which was highly spiritual and full of love and all that. She then said, okay, that's it. And I said, okay, well, let's go further into the incident. She said, I can't. I said, okay. So we went through, and you know, another couple times, and she's on board, we're on board, and tall being. She can't go any further. And I said, well, why is that? She said, it's like the static on a TV set. It's just this interference. She couldn't go into more data of what happened in that incident. So I said, well, yes or no, would we be violating a trust? These are my exact words. Would we be violating a trust if we tried to go further through this incident? She said, yes. So we had agreed to have our mind blocked on the further data, which we've never found out what it is, in this incident. I, for years, assumed, you know, the UFO was 30 feet, whatever, you know. Just maybe 2 or 3 years ago, I asked her, I said, well, how big was this? She said it dwarfed the parking lot. And this parking lot is huge, where you got a little tiny pickup truck So this UFO was absolutely huge. So that was 1989. So that had to do with the parking lot. And then when we go up to Mount Baker on the trips, I take people up there, which is near where the Mount Larrabee and the Pleiades is and so on. We go to a big parking lot. We're going, okay, what's this parking lot thing? And now down here in Tucson, I go to this big parking lot. And we got this video that you saw from July of this year, 2015, of just incredible light show they put on. We filmed that with night vision from the parking lot. And how did they show up? As a row of lights, just like they had given me that information back in 1988. So, what had happened earlier in 2013, June of 2013, is we were walking up the road from this parking lot and into this canyon in Tucson called Sabino Canyon. It's a paved road. People go up there all night long. And I won't go into full details, but this UFO showed up over a mountain that was a Google Earth that it was 0.4 miles away. So not very far away. And we're both looking at this. It's just a white strobing, morphing light on the right. And you can see this little bar going across, and then a little dull red light, and you can see sky below it, and then the mountain. And anybody would say, oh, well, it's a helicopter. No, it was not a helicopter. And we're looking at this going, wow, what do you even say? I mean, this is 0.4 miles away. It's got to be 60 to 80 feet wide, so it's prominent up there. I turned to my friend and I said, you know, consistently, my little guys have actually not been Pleiadian. They've been from, you'd think they would be with me going to a mountain called the Pleiades, but they've been the little Zeta Reticula guys. So I said, my guys have always been Zeta Reticula, reticulums or whatever you want to call them. When I said Zeta, the white light went out. When I said reticulum, it made this huge burst of light, like complete confirmation that, you know, that these are the guys. So for 3 days, 2 or 3 days after that, my normally dull little mind, which is not that active, like some people have really active minds, mine just kind of goes through life, right? I was flooded with all this information. And I realized at the time that I was being, this information was being uploaded from downloaded information that happened all the way back in 1988. So look at all the patience I had to have, because I went for years with nothing happening at all. And here was this uploaded information that the positive Zeta is not to be confused with the little guys who do the abductions. Even though they're kind of the same family, they had some kind of split, and you know, some of them went to the dark side, I guess you could say, the reptilian side, you know.
That's the exact information I've personally got. So just lines, I'm just
Yeah.
because we haven't spoken till now, so this is all sort of just confirmation on another level.
Absolutely, yes. And the positive Zeta guys are actually not the word chosen. I guess they have volunteered for their part in this overall mission. And their part is the way some of us are ground crew, which I'm sure you can identify with as well. You know, we volunteered here to do the stuff down here, which is, you know, where you can feel kind of brain dead and stupid sometimes, you know, and kicked in the head and all that. These guys volunteered to be the disclosure group. And that's really all they're going to be doing. And they're going to be doing disclosure with a row of lights. And with that row of lights, they'll be able to use it for communications. So I'm not sure exactly how they're going to do that, but I made a YouTube video explaining all that on July 3rd, 2014. And in the video, I said, wouldn't that be funny if they did something tomorrow on July 4th? And wouldn't you know, right in the middle of our Big Mountain range, it's like, 10 miles from where I live, they put on a big light display of a row of lights with lights zipping all over, and people actually rode in to National UFO Reporting Center and shoot, what's that other? There's another one.
A move on would it be?
No, it's not MUFON, UFO something, where you file reports. I can't think of what it's called. But they wrote quite an elaborate report, and we got to actually see. We weren't in the right place, and we were kind of late with it, but we did see that row of lights up there. And probably the most rugged portion of the Catalina Mountains. There's a trail that goes up there, but it's not for going up at night. This is way up near the top. It wasn't fireworks. It was a row of lights doing all kinds of stuff that was at least a half mile wide up to a mile. And they did that on July 4th last year, row of lights. So what happens this year, my friend is just urging me to go out to the Spino Canyon parking lot. I thought, that's odd. I better do this. So we go out there, it's overcast, and then the video that you saw is the row of lights, and they're doing the light displays and all kinds of stuff, which is total confirmation that what they're going to do is do these communication displays and exercises. They're going to do them on highly aesthetic locations, not over a city where everybody freaks out. And they're going to do them in remote enough locations that only volunteers can go out there. So it's people who want to have this experience will be able to go out there and witness this and actually have communication with these guys from a safe distance with them using their lights as a communication device. So this is, what I was talking about in 2013, and I made the video in 2014. They showed up on July 4th, 2014 with the lights, and then total confirmation this 4th of July with that outrageous video. I don't know of any other video like that. I don't know if you do.
Nah, like there's similar stuff, but it goes for a while and it's quite different. So it's in a class, an area of its own. I've gone through some of the other stuff with the power ups and that, and these aren't like full blown military grade infrared cameras, and you still get good footage. Like, so this shows that they're close. They're a good sized light. Some of them are doing, weird maneuvers and that. This is where I'm telling people now, go down to the description part of this video, or wherever you've uploaded the audio version, there'll be a link that I'm putting up to your YouTube channel and also the website where you've got some of this information. But
Okay.
it's worth people checking out because it is different. I've seen very similar stuff, but it's its own thing. And this is where you talk about the row of lights and that sort of thing. It's that to me is confirmation of the information, and this is where I get. I say to people a lot of the time, tester beings you're working with, because we're having the human experience, we need some of this validity, and this is where
Yeah, absolutely.
you've tested them in a certain way, and I think it's valid because we're down here, they're up there, and to know that what we're dealing with is in line with the awakening and healing process of here, we need to be able to take, what they're saying for granted. Little tests like this. Do exactly that, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, if they don't do something once in a while, then you start getting bitter and you want to give up and all that. So I've had, enough little trail markers along to keep me going. It's been very frustrating though, because I've never really quite understood what this was all about, all the way back from 88. It's like, what is this? I knew I volunteered for something, but what did I volunteer for, you know? And then this July 4th, 2015 thing, I was telling people, I said, they finally went and did it after over 25 years for me. They finally went and did it. You know, it was like 100% confirmation that this is what they're really going to do. They're going to bypass all this stuff, government and this and that and the other thing, bypass all of that and just go to the average person. And you'll be able to go out to these events and have communications with them. And I have got to bet that they're going to have some things to say. Let's put it that way.
Have because they relayed any information about who you are, like on another level or anything else?
In regression sessions, I mean, when we did regression sessions, I received them from a professional therapist here in Tucson. And he used to work with Bob Dean in a little experimental program called Stargate, where he was on a hotline as a therapist. Bob Dean wanted to have therapists all around the country on these hotlines so people could call in their, you know, their abductions or whatever else. So I called him up, and then he began working with me, and I actually worked with him too because I couldn't afford his $110 an hour. So since I knew how to do regression, I helped him find. He didn't get to be an armchair therapist. I helped him find his ET stuff.
Yeah.
And like he said, he went home one night after a really heavy duty session. He was looking under the bed. He was looking in the closets. I mean, you know, he really went through it, you know. But the sessions we did were very revealing in a lot of different ways, to the point where we couldn't believe the stuff we were finding. It was just, really? That? No, there's no way, you know. But over the years, it's all been confirmed. And now I look back in these regression sessions and realize all of it was true. So getting to your question, I found out I'm not from here. You know, I found out pretty much who my guys are, you know, and it's just when you volunteer, I'm sure, you know, we're out there and we go, hey, let's volunteer for this. This looks cool. Then once we get down here in this, we go, I am never doing this one again.
I wrote a book called Operation Starseed. It's basically like a military operation, but not to take over, but to help. And this is where, you know, you're talking about the ground crew and they're still up there. And it's, you know, very much, you know, the way it is. But I find it very important that you said something that I haven't really heard from anyone else. And I've said it before in terms of, you're talking about these uploads or downloads, and that it's taken years for them to come into fruition in terms of meaning and understanding the information, or even the information unlocking. And this is where I've said to people, there's stuff that's happening to me daily that I know that's not going to be unlocked until my later years. And this is how it works. The data's locked in, and then when the time's right or an incident happens or energies align, it's like almost then you've got access to the, you know, the locked door on that information just goes boom, and you know all this stuff. You don't know how you know, but you know it's from earlier.
Yeah, and I'm getting better at it. Where, as a matter of fact, when I made that video last year describing how all this is going to work, I said, this plan is so brilliant that I know it's not my idea.
You couldn't make this up.
I couldn't do this. I could not figure this out myself. There's no way. And it's brilliant. It's workable. So now I'm getting better at knowing when something is not my idea. So another thing that happened with this video that was taken this year, July 4th, where they're flashing the big lights, the blue light at the beginning and the green lights, and they do a staccato burst of lights, like almost like you know, when the movie star walks out in the 1930s and they do all the press guys go click, 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 and flash bulbs. Yeah. That's what it looks like in this video. And it's not something that most people would notice, but it's all this flashing of light. And I realize, well, they're going to do two things. They're going to, and this again is not my idea, they're going to use the row of lights as a communication device where you could probably ask them yes and no questions or whatever. But there, this really gets wild. They're going to use, they have taken all this time because they have gone all around the planet and downloaded information into volunteers' psyches all over the planet. So you got all these people who are primed with information that is ready to be triggered. They apparently have a light, what would it be? A light display coding for that information. So when they show up and do that exact pattern of flashing lights, it automatically releases that information. So I didn't understand it when I take this one person, especially out to Sabino Canyon, and we saw this light all of a sudden appear, just poof, and got larger and then took off. But it was not a Iridium satellite or anything like that. It was them. I woke up the next day and was literally like every single cell was supercharged. It was the strangest feeling I ever had in my life. I go, wow. And then she went for about 2 weeks where she had to deal with stuff, heavy duty, you know, stuff. She could barely even get out of bed, which is, you know, a symptom of this sort of thing. I was going, wait a minute, we just saw a light and now we're this is happening? And I don't think missing time, it's like, what happened? But I think by them doing that light display, it triggered the information that was stored. So I think that's going to be part of what they're going to be doing is triggering people. And people are going to all of a sudden have all this information and they're going to go, wow, what is this? And then they're going to need help from others in understanding that, hey, you just been downloaded by ETs a long time ago, and now you're just being uploaded.
So it's so easing into a pattern, and then, you know, like I say, the people now, we're the guides and custodians of this place, and we've got to help everyone sort of realize that within themselves. So it's sort of like we're getting help to awake to what we already know. And everyone's an experiencer, I think, on some level. It's just, this is how it's had to play out for not too much interference, I guess, on a civilization level. Even though the things are being pressed and shook up a little bit, I think it's just the way it's had to happen in order for it to be done in such a way where it's not too overbearing.
Yeah. It has to be. This is really something. For years, I've been going around with the thought of they're not going to do anything to scare the children. So every time I think of, you know, oh, mass, when people say, yeah, there's going to be thousands of UFOs over the city in December, whatever, I go, no, there's not. Because that scares the children. And I know, you know, that's not what they're going to do. I did a regression session with my therapist friend, and all of a sudden he says, right in the middle of it, he says, you know, when you always say they're not going to scare the children, when they say children, they're talking about the entire human race. And I went, wow. They look at us as children, the ones that are, you know, really up there running the big picture beyond the reticulums and so on. We are kind of their children that they're helping kind of guide through all this. And they don't want to do anything too abrupt. You have to have patience. And then folks, you know, like you and me and a whole bunch of other people are already, I don't know if we're first wave or what wave we are, but we'll be able to help the next wave of people who would just have this uploaded information and go, oh, what? what do I do with this? And then we can explain that that's uploaded information from the ETs and help them through that.
No, definitely. And I'm seeing even this happening now with the young children I've spoken to and people like Mary Rodwell, these kids are just...
Yeah.
It blows me out of the water just going, you know, we look like nothing in terms of experience or information when you talk to how in-depth their information. It seems like as if some of the walls or barriers that we have, they don't have, so they're able to get out the information and understand the information in another light.
That's exactly right, yes.
With what you're going through, you're talking about the Zetas. Have there been any other beings or races or groups come through that have communicated or that the Zetas network with or anything on that sort of level?
I think the experience is tailored differently for each individual.
Definitely.
So you as an individual have all these, you know, different beings that you have access to. I think it's been deliberately tailored for me so that really the only access I have is to the Zeta guys and this one being in particular who is not the normal Zeta at all. Because even though they're the positively oriented Zetas, I don't think they're, you know, happy-go-lucky guys. They are hardcore. I mean, they're hardcore survivors going way, way, way back. And I'm not even sure if they care for doing this mission that they're doing. It's just something that, you know, is part of evolution for them. But this one contact guy for me is very different. Sense of humor, you know, everything that you can think of that would be, you know, positive and beneficial, this guy has. But here I go, you know, since 1988, I've been going to a mountain called the Pleiades. I have nothing, zero on anything Pleiadian, nothing. There's never been a hint. Which
it's
is
almost a sense of humor on their part to go, this is where this had to start and activate.
Oh, you got it exactly. I'm glad you got that because that is exactly the way I look at it. The irony. They do things like that with irony, like a little inside, very dry sense of humor on something like that. You know, of all the people on the planet who should be, you know, channeling the Pleiadians or contact, I got nothing.
Yeah.
But they've over, I mean, it's been ridiculous the number of times that they validated the reticulum thing. Matter of fact, when my friend and I saw the little UFO in 1989 up at the Pleiades, it was a light and then it stopped and, you know, all that. I was actually going to read to her out of the book UFO Contact from Reticulum by Wendell Stevens. I haul up this hardcover book on a backpacking trip where you got to go 2,000 feet of elevation, right? Why am I doing that? So they showed up when I had opened the book and I was going to just read anything out of it for her because she wanted to go to sleep. So it didn't matter what. I could read, you know, the back of a bottle of something, right? It didn't matter. I opened the book and I looked right in the middle of the page. And I was about ready to say what was on the page. And then she said, oh, what's that light? And then I looked again at the page and it said, I look straight ahead of me. That's what it said on the page. And this is the book, Contact from Reticulum. So way back in 89, I knew I was dealing with reticulums. I had a hint that those were the guys who were downloading this information earlier on when I used to go out in the middle of the night. And then they've confirmed it. They showed up in 2013 with the morphine light, and I say Zeta, the light goes out, Reticulum, the light goes on. So that's who these guys are, and I'm pretty sure it's pretty obvious to me that the guys who showed up in my video of July 4th of this year are the little Zeta guys. They're doing a preliminary. What they're doing in that video is they're showing all their different capabilities. Because initially, you see two lights sitting side by side. And I've got my camera on a tripod, so it's stationary, the lights. Then a blue light flashes right to the side of it. And then a green light. Well, you think, okay, that's part of the UFO. Well, then they take your mind elsewhere because now the light is completely disconnected from the UFO and it flashes up in the sky. They're walking you through these different ways that they can do things. So then the different flashes, and then the second UFO just materializes out of nowhere to the left of the first one, and then dematerializes, turns into a red light, and moves across to the original one, almost like it joins it, and then they do a series of crazy flashes. So to me, that whole thing was their way of saying, yeah, we can do this, but yeah, we can do that. We can do all kinds of stuff. We're that good.
That's interesting. Have they gone through the downloads and information you've got, is there any more you can elaborate on with the disclosure part of things, or even more on why they're doing it this way in terms of, you know, the governments and that obviously aren't doing anything. These guys have got a bad rap, this crew. And as you said, some of this crew, the other side of them, aren't so in the service mode, you know, with the abductions and things like that. Is there anything you'd like to say on any of that?
Yeah, I would. When I made the video, I don't know if you were able to watch it from last year, but I'm talking.
That one I didn't see.
Yeah, that's okay. It's on my YouTube channel. I've only got about, I don't know, 10 videos. So it's my only blog I've ever done. And I did it in one take. It was supposed to be just a practice run through, and I ended up going yak, 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 yak through the whole thing and kept it. I went, wow, that was that even me? But in that, I'm on my Mac computer here, you know, and using it to do the video, and I'm talking along, and I said, and they're going to bypass governments, and as soon as I say governments, everything goes dark. I kid you not. And then the light comes on again. But it looks like my whole room behind me goes black, and then when I said the word government, and I realized that's them doing, that's how advanced and how amazing these guys are. They can do that with my computer. It's ridiculous. So the other thing, let's see if I can, I lost my train of thought. You're asking if they,
you can sort of elaborate on with the downloads and information that you've got, and, you know, governments or even disclosure, whatever sort of, you know, yeah, any more there.
The reason I found that the information was brilliant and too brilliant for me to come up with, right, was you look at the mess this planet is right now, and if anybody's even mildly looking, they're going to be seeing all the things the shadow government is doing, the cabal, all the false flag stuff, and, you know, all this stuff. It's all headed towards something really bad, to the point where it's kind of like we're doomed and there's going to be no one there to help us out of our doom. You know, I mean, that should be pretty obvious to anybody who's even mildly looking. Then you combine that with the folks who you think would be on your side on this, a lot of New Agers and so on. A lot of these people, you know, it's a multi-million-dollar business, and they're just doing whatever to, you know, make a lot of money and that sort of thing. And they're not really on your side in this. So you've got all this mess going on out there. And what can an ET group do to cut through all of this? Well, it's very simple. You just park yourself out there at a reasonable distance so people aren't afraid, and then you do a direct communication with lights, not telepathy, because if you do it with telepathy, someone's going to receive, well, they're not even going to receive the information. They'll just make up stuff. go, well, the ETs just told me they want me to be the leader of the world or something, right? Right. So the lights, you can actually put these communication events and video them for evidence, and nothing can be tinkered with that. So whatever they're going to say is what they're going to say. And it's a very good chance they're going to say a lot of things that are quite revealing, let's put it that way. You know, because they know exactly what's going on. Now, I don't think you're going to be able to say who really shot JFK and get an answer to that. You know, they're going to say, well, you know, let's keep with some rather, you know, more pertinent questions here than something like that. But I think it's going to be a gradual process. And of course, you're going to have a lot of people in religions saying that this is the devil and all. So there's got to be things that are worked out. But I think there are millions of people around this planet, on this planet, who are totally ready for this sort of thing. Because I talk to people at work, and I've got a little meetup group, and we're going out tonight, as a matter of fact, to do some night watching, and they'd be ready for this. So I think there's actually millions of people in all countries of the world who are actually ready for events like this to happen.
No, I would agree with that, and this is where I have seen something since 2012, and it wasn't, you know, like Space Brothers come on down or the end of the world, but what I've seen, and it's really started about 2010, was a change in consciousness where now, more than ever, you could talk to the average Joe and they can see how the government's screwing them over and how possible back then conspiracy theories aren't really theories anymore. They've actually, you know, some of these things have come into fruition as being conspiracy fact.
Yeah.
And everyone thinks, well, not everyone, but a large percent of the population think as soon as you hear conspiracy, it means theory. It's no, you know, it's, you know, to conspire doing whatever the hell it is. And the governments are a prime example and even listed in the dictionary under that in some of the dictionaries. So this is where, you know, now ET and beings from elsewhere and other planes and dimensions through even science and technology now, like here in Australia, we're teleporting particles, photons, and we're also teleporting photons back in time to interact with itself. So even though it's on a photon level, we're actually doing stuff that, you know, is in Star Trek. We've got the little iPads now. So the people are ready. And I think, again, like I quote Albert Einstein all the time, the key to this is a higher level of consciousness, because you can't solve a problem the same level of consciousness that created whatever mess you're in. So this is where I think slowly, as a collective and individually, we're slowly raising, you know, expanding our minds, which expands consciousness. And I think, like you're saying, the people are ready. It's just being done in such a way where you're talking about it being tailored to you. Now it's being tailored to the collective as well as the individual aspect of things as well.
Yeah, yeah, very good point. There is almost a collective aspect to it. It's like you have to get to us. I think these guys have done this a lot of times before.
On other places.
Other places. This is nothing new. I mean, we get so centered on us being the only life in the universe. And then if something like this happens, we go, oh, wow, you know, there. And to them, it's probably, okay, what are we doing this week? Oh, you know, Earth. Okay, let's do that. You know, we've done, you know, 600 of these things. And I call it, you know, this is another thing that's, I don't think it's mine, activation. I call it planetary activation. It's like a trigger, light switch, you know. So we have all these light switches going off already. And I think a lot of this stuff, you're talking about the consciousness being raised and so on. I think that is a lot of triggered stuff already. It's probably not people's ideas on their own. It's this stuff that is just coming out. That it was seeded. And obviously, you know, a lot of it is their, you know, stuff, because people are smart, you know, a lot of people are smart. But there's a certain, I think there's a certain point in a planet's evolution where this is almost like a natural phenomenon that occurs in the evolution of a planet, where we are able to go, oh, hey, you know, we are part of something greater. And we're at that point where with quantum physics and everything happening with science and space exploration, where these ETs would be able to communicate with the scientists. Now, that's really interesting, because then the whole thing just goes to another level. Because right now, of course, a lot of scientists are going, you know, for my career, ET stuff, we're not looking at that. But if the phenomenon actually occurs with the disclosure, then they're going to feel comfortable in looking at things in terms of life elsewhere. And the scientific inquiring mind, they're going to want to know more. And they get these communication events with these guys and go, whoa, okay, my formula was wrong. And now you just gave me the correct formula. Holy mackerel. You know, this and that and the other thing.
Opens you up to, you know, a lot more variety in terms of things, you know, we're capable of.
Yeah, absolutely. But the key for me was when I made the video blog, you know, all the words I'm saying in the video blog, the light goes out. It looks like in my room, but it's obviously the computer somehow just went. When I said governments, it goes out that they're going to bypass governments. Beef. That was their way of saying, yeah, they're not part of this. The power structure and so on, that's, you know, if I'm sure, you know, you're probably on the same page as me that you got the cabal and you got the hybrids and the negative grays and the reptilians, and it's all a lineage and they all use mind control going down the lineage, you know, and that sort of thing. And just bypass all that.
Definitely.
Just go to the average person who has got the seeded information and then help trigger that and help raise them to see that they've been duped.
Definitely. Well, that's what's going on, whether people realize it or not. And another question for you, and this is something that personally that I've experienced, was that one of the hardest times for me with all this wasn't the interdimensional or ET aspect, but it was learning that a lot of my education that I thought I knew here isn't what it seems. And that was, you know, you're basically living in this reality going, people don't see what I see now. And I don't blame them because I didn't see this before. Was that hard for you when you came to that realization? Because we all come to it when we start experiencing stuff and then we open up. We're just like, geez, you know, we're being told a load of crap all the time and just told to be submissive and basically take it. And we're oblivious to it.
Well, what's really odd with me is I wouldn't call it diagnosed, but I skipped a grade. I don't even know which one it was, because I know I went to first grade. I don't know if it was kindergarten or whatever. Anyway, I was always the youngest person in my class because I was considered a genius. You know, that's what they figured I was, so they moved me ahead. Well, I slept through high school. So I kind of, you know, you're saying, you know, all these things you learn. Well, I didn't learn anything.
Yeah.
I mean, I literally had my head on the desk sleeping through most of high school, and I somehow had a C average. I get a C average in one of my math classes as a teacher. I don't know why, because I didn't learn anything. He said, well, you didn't cause any trouble. So he gave me a C. That's exactly
Let
what
you pass.
So I kind of just didn't have a lot of stuff, and I think they wanted me to not have a lot of stuff, because then I would never have gone on this mission. I'd be doing something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's all pre-planned. Again, it's tailored for you.
It's tailored for me. It's hard to come to terms with that, because, you know, I've got a brother who's a super overachiever and my sister's an overachiever, and here, you know, wow, me, you know, sleeping through high school and, you know, not doing much with my life, sort of. But yet, if I had done overachieving things, then I never have the time to be doing what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
I'd have so many things going on, and my mind would be go ooh, with all this stuff about, you know, everybody talking about football and statistics and this and that. And I don't have that going on. So my mind is just kind of open to all this. Now, here's something that was one of the strangest things ever. We have a swimming pool here. I live in a condo complex, and I just swim around, very relaxing. I don't get into the, you know, I am swimming. I just relax swimming. So that had to have been about a year ago. I'm swimming along, and all of a sudden I start thinking about these guys in the 1989 experience at Mount Hood, the tall guys. And I thought, he probably had his back turned, because if he was facing my friend, it would have scared the hell out of her, because he's probably some kind of bug ET or, you know, praying mantis or something like that. And she needed to experience the essence of his being rather than his physical form. And I knew that was true. So I'm swimming along and thinking of that. And I'm thinking, I don't know how to describe it. It just kind of came over my mind, because I was just drifting as I'm swimming, that these guys are, you know how some people, they like to wear black leather, and then they've got a black sports car, and, you know, all this, everything is cool with the, you know, all this sort of stuff. They've got all the tech and everything, and they always wear black, you know, and they're so cool. I'm swimming along going, well, that's what these guys are like, you know. They're just exactly like that. And then all of a sudden, this has to be the strangest thing that's ever happened to me. The water turned more into ether, and I'm swimming no longer in water. It actually scared me, because it was so completely real. And I was experiencing what these guys are like. That these guys are so badass, it's unbelievable. But they're badass in a positive way. And then a word that I didn't even really know what it meant, I had to go look it up. That they're prime, like the Zetas are help with the disclosure. And the different groups, according to their abilities, do various things. These guys, they're, what they're really good at is terraforming planets. I'm going, okay. So, and I'm realizing this is not my information. So I had to go look it up. It's like the condition our planet is in right now, and everybody's attitudes towards it and all that, we could use some help. And apparently these guys are part of this disclosure program, or whatever you want to call it. And they're going to come in and actually help us bring our planet more up to speed. Now, whether that's true or not, hey, I just work here. You know, I don't. But it was such a profound experience, and I knew it wasn't my thoughts, that I'm going, wow. So that's really the only two ET groups I'm aware of that I'm in relation with.
Very interesting, very interesting. And that's sort of how the information comes through a lot of the time. It's just this awareness, you know something's going on. It's not what people think, though it can be, you know, more physical and nuts and bolts, but a majority of the time it's just not. It's, you know, again, tailored. And
yeah,
how you're describing that is how a lot of my stuff is daily. And I get exactly what you're saying in terms of, it's like, you know, what I call thought transfer again. It's this, their thoughts and information is transferred to you, and it's not something you're thinking about at the time. You might be wondering about it, and then all of a sudden, these answers or information come that you just wouldn't make up. So it's, you know, it's how this works
very
a lot
good
of the
point.
Time.
That's a good point, where you may be thinking along a certain line, and then all this stuff that is too detailed to be something that would be my normal thought. And then it carries with it, you know, I mean, the water turning to ether was really this
That's
problem.
amazing.
The strangest, I was swimming, there was no water. Scared the hell out of me for a second, really did. And I realized this is not me. So I guess there's two aspects of this. You could have seeded information that's triggered, and then it becomes an upload, and now you have that information. Or you could have direct communication from them that would seem kind of the same.
Well, it would be the same modality and methods that it's done. It's
Yeah.
very much similar. But look, we'll wrap it up there at the moment. I'd like to stay in contact and get you back on in time, but
Okay.
I'll keep in touch and I'll keep posted to your YouTube channel too, in case anything else pops up. I know it's once in a blue moon, but that's how it is. And there'll be links underneath this video again to your website where it goes into where you go for sky watches and those types of things, and a bit more on your story. So, Tom, it's been good chatting to you, mate. It's just like chatting to an old friend, and it's been really
You too.
educational. So, thank you for taking the time.
You're welcome. We hope it all comes true. We need it.
We need it. Yeah, it's time that it just we get on with it, I think, and they get on with it.
I think so too.
Cool. All right, mate. Thank you for that, and cheers.
All right. Thank you too. Have a good rest of your day.
Will do. Thanks, mate.